Hello and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including Dungeons and Dragons. Actually, not really.
Muffy. Meow. Meow.
Meow.
So, before David Ray calls in, I'll go ahead and play our disclaimer. If I can get my freaking mouse to work, what the heck is wrong with my computer? Well, crap, I guess I'm not going to play the disclaimer. Control, Alt, Delete. Task Manager. Shut that down. There, now it works. Loading, loading, loading disclaimer. Here it is.
Demented Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Asterisk legal notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational and / or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Pray on others as you would want them to pray on you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicines. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and / or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and / or other animals, we are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Yeah! Texting David Ray. Only you can prevent forest fires. God gave you free will. Please use it wisely. So one of tonight's topics is the metaphysical. And how do we do it in holiness? Hang on, what was the message? I got a message from a girl on a dateline. Let's see. I don't hardly go to these places anymore. Okay. She sent me a message last month. Just hi, nice to meet you. Your profile is holistic. Would you like to share your knowledge? I'm a Christian lady. I believe in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. We believe on gifts and abilities. We ask for this gift and are given to us. It was nice meeting you. I'm like, okay. I think she's Hispanic, so her English is broken. So anyways, I said, what would you like to know? She said, I would like to know metaphysics and health. Where and how do you learn all of this things within God? It's nice meeting you. God bless you. I said, that is a fine line to walk. Follow your heart. I don't get too deep into the metaphysical myself. Take baby steps and don't do what doesn't feel right. Reiki is safe. Yoga is generally safe. Find a spiritualist church or a unity church. There you will have a spiritual guide to what is safe. But don't rely on them solely for guidance because they too can go astray. I think most things metaphysical are safe. Just don't go too deep too fast. You can also call into our podcast Saturday nights and we can talk about these things as we do from time to time anyway. I will bring it up tonight, and you can listen at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Happy face. So we're just waiting for David Ray, and we'll go over that with him. In the meantime, I'm going to be eating my fish. I got salmon. I just cooked up. And as soon as David gets here, we can have a cosmic conversation about the metaphysics. Yeah. Maybe I should call Jamie. Just kidding. Jamie went too deep too fast and had a bad experience. And I wouldn't say she's scarred, but maybe a little. She had a really bad experience, a few bad experiences, actually. And I think it's solely because she just went too deep, too fast into metaphysics. You know, she was just like gung-ho, all full speed ahead. You know, bam, let's do this. And she was just dabbling in everything. Not really weighing the options or looking at all of it in an intellectual way. She was like, ooh, a new experience. Let's do this. Oh, yeah, fun. Yay. And she got in trouble. I'm not bad talking Jamie. Jamie's a friend. I admire her for her passion and her, I don't know what the right word would be, exuberance, maybe. I mean, you know, she just, you know, she's really a fun-loving person. I mean, she's a little more or a lot more skeptical now that she had her bad experience. Her bad experience pretty much, I don't know, I guess woke her up. And made her more alert, more aware of what's out there. Because there's good and evil in the metaphysical. And you just have to tread lightly. It's like walking on ice. You know, you have to be careful, and you have to know where the deep, you know, where the thick ice is and where the shallow ice is. And you're really not going to know what to look out for if you're just running across the ice and not, you know, taking any precautions. You got to carefully explore the ice first, make sure you have safeguards, and a support group there. So if you fall in the ice, you know, you have safety nets, if you will. Safety rope, really. But she had friends, but apparently a lot of them weren't reliable. And pretty much nobody was there for her, nobody that she called on for help, because she didn't call on David Ray or me, but she called on a lot of other people, a lot of our other hippie, metaphysical, alternative friends in our community, and apparently pretty much all of them turned their backs on her, and so she probably assumed, since they did, we will too, but we wouldn't have, we didn't. Once I found out about it, I've been there for her and tried helping her through it as much as possible. So you just got to be careful. You know, don't get in too deep too fast. And I think if you do it, you know, slowly, safely, and wisely, I think you'll be okay. Reiki. Reiki is generally safe. Supposedly. Supposedly, Reiki is the energy healing that Jesus was doing when he was here. Do I know this for sure? No. Because I have no first-hand knowledge. I was not here at the time of Jesus' existence on this earth. So, really, I don't know. But that's what they say. They say that this is the healing that Jesus was practicing and teaching to his disciples. And it was their job to carry on the tradition. Maybe they did. And maybe that's what Reiki is. I don't know. But Reiki is pretty cool. It's basically energy healing. And I've not seen or experienced any negative reactions or side effects from Reiki. I could be wrong. But overall, from my observation and experience, I think Reiki is pretty much harmless. I'm not a Reiki master. I'm only like first level Reiki. But overall, like I said, from what I've seen, what I've experienced, I think Reiki is harmless. And everybody should, you know, be more open to it. Any kind of energy healing overall, I think is okay. If it works. I mean, there's some things that... You know, I mean, it's all a leap of faith. You really don't know if it works or not, unless you've got some experience of it working. It's like Jamie took me to this one metaphysical event, if you will. And this one lady, she seemed nice, and she believed in what she was doing, but I just couldn't buy it. She had this bed with these crystals, and you lay on the bed, and these crystals send some kind of frequency heaving through them and whatnot, and I don't know. Hello?
Yeah. I've been trying to call you.
What?
I've been trying to call you.
Really? I've been in the kitchen cooking fish.
You're using the landline.
Yes.
I'm going, how am I going to start the podcast if I can't get a hold of him first? Because I can't do the three-way if I call him first and then call you.
Why not?
I decided, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to monologue. Thank goodness I found you here.
You didn't want a monologue?
No, I don't want a monologue.
Why? You're great at monologuing.
No, I'm great at diatribing, which requires somebody else to trigger me.
What's that called again?
Diatribe.
Say it one more time. Diatribe?
Yes. I'm really good at diatribing.
Okay, that I can believe, because that's pretty much how I feel about myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'm better at, what is it, diatribe?
Well, you do a good job of doing a monologue, but it might be that you're doing a diatribe when you're monologuing. But for me, it kind of requires to say some key item that really, really hits on something that's important to me.
Kind of like the metaphysical?
Sure. Yeah, they'll do it sometimes.
All right. Here's the subject at hand. This girl messaged me on a Dateline.
Yes?
ChristianDatingForFree.com, the one
okay.
You told me about.
Oh, well, yeah.
All right. I think, well, she's Hispanic, so her English is broken. But she says, hi, nice to meet you. Your profile is holistic. Would you like to share your knowledge? I'm a Christian lady. I believe in the Trinity, which I don't. Okay, I'm sorry. I believe in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. We believe on gifts and abilities. We ask for this gift and are given to us. It was nice meeting you. So I said, what would you like to know? She said, I would like to know metaphysics and health. Where and how do you learn all this things within God? It's nice meeting you. God bless you. I said in response to that is a fine line to walk. Follow your heart. Don't get too deep. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I said I don't get too deep into it myself. Take baby steps and don't do what doesn't feel right. Reiki is safe. Yoga is generally safe. Find a spiritualist church or unity church. There you will have a spiritual guide to what is safe. But don't rely on them solely for guidance, because they too can go astray. I think most things metaphysical are safe. Just don't go too deep too fast. You can also call into our podcast Saturday nights and we can talk about these things as we do from time to time. I will bring it up tonight and you can listen in at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Happy face.
It scared her off. You mentioned dragon.
Yeah. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Happy face. So how does she do those things within God or whatever?
Well, my understanding of the universe is that it's all God's creation. All right, and so these people would say, don't you dare touch this and don't you dare touch that because that wasn't meant for man and blah, 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 blah.
Kind of like astrology.
It bugs me when they say that because God tells us, my understanding is God tells us to come to understand his universe. All right? Well, how can you come to understand his universe if you don't look around the corner?
Right. If you stay in
you
your
know?
Box.
Say what? Yeah, if you stay in your box, all you're going to learn is your box. So how do you reconcile that? You don't. There's a, you know, missing concept there someplace.
Right.
It's like all these people that say, well, God preserved the Bible, therefore the King James is totally accurate. Well, what makes you think it's the King James that's the preserved copy?
Because the King James says it is.
Yeah, it does. And if you do a little study, you very quickly find out that there's a whole bunch of words that are mistranslated so as to make it look like you're supposed to obey government. Which,
but
if
you do a little bit of study, every religion has a book that says it is the one true religion.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, shoot. I got to look into Dalai Lama a little bit more. Because I'm reading some of his blogs, all right? What was I searching for, and I ran across his blog as a result? I can't remember even. But he was talking about how war is, well, he's against armies, period, from what he wrote, and with good cause. And you might go read that. I think I sent you the link.
Oh, yeah, I already converted it to audio, and I put it on Facebook and YouTube.
Okay, so you can tell me if I got it wrong or not, but it seems to me, in reading his stuff, he's pretty down to earth.
Oh, yeah.
He's like my other friends, who I probably sit down and drink beers with. All right?
Pretty much.
Because of his position, he has an excuse. He has a protection against being prevented from speaking his mind. So he's down to earth and he can speak his mind to the world. That's pretty cool. Now, I don't know if he's the reincarnation of the 13 previous Dalai Lamas or not, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's part of their religion.
That's part of their religion. Okay. I don't know how to prove or disprove that. I don't think it really matters. I'd be kind of curious to find out if he thinks he's the 14th incarnation or not. It's like, well, they tell me I am.
He probably believes it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in his position.
Well, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like he can exactly step down. You'd have a bunch of followers waiting for him to die so they'd get the 15th one.
Right.
Like, the Dalai Lama walked away from us. We're going to have to wait until his 15th incarnation. You know? I don't know. I think if he tried to walk away, he'd probably very quickly find out that no, if he's a slave to the religion, he really can't go anywhere. They, no matter what he does, they'd make something of it.
Right.
So, I don't know. I haven't read that much of him. Okay. I'm certainly not going to start sitting down and worshiping him. But I thought it was very interesting that his viewpoint was very much in line with my own viewpoint on the subject. And that he was pretty down to earth to it, on it. You know, just average Joe, in his opinion. So when he was a kid, he thought it was cool to be a soldier. But, okay, so I didn't went down a rabbit hole. Okay. And I diatribed on the rabbit hole.
Metaphysical.
Yeah, so this woman wants to know how to do the metaphysical within God. All right. Well, first off, keep in mind that God created everything. With a purpose. And we may not necessarily come to understand all the purposes, not in this lifetime at least. All
right? Right, that's why we have to reincarnate 100 million times.
Maybe. But I believe that we reincarnate, but I can't prove it, and I won't poo-poo anybody who says we don't. I might ask them a bunch of questions, but then again, if somebody tells me reincarnate, I'll probably ask them a bunch of questions too. So I'll
right,
be devil's advocate on both sides. So, because I don't know.
Right. We don't have first-hand knowledge.
Don't have first-hand knowledge. I do know this. My brain is not big enough to know everything there is to know about the universe. My brain would have to be bigger than the universe to accomplish that task.
Bamacoidal.
I would have to be beyond I can't even say it now. I'd have to be beyond
Bamacoidal.
Yeah, his brain was only as big as a planet.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That's another subject, man. Starship Troopers, I think that was?
No.
What was that?
Just kidding.
Yeah. And that was like, that wasn't even number one, was it?
No, it was like two or three.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through all of the guy, the book, was it Robert Heinlein, I think, wrote Star Trek Troopers? I looked up the author, and I went through a lot of his books, and I cannot find a reference to Bamacoidal anywhere. Somebody who wrote the movie made that up.
It's a spinoff.
So, I don't know. Anyway, I do know that even if you're grabbing hold of scriptures, oh, shoot. I'm listening to this podcast, these two ladies. They believe in this Mandela effect. Okay. Their premise is that the words in the Bible are being changed by somebody going back in the past and altering the past so that it gets written differently.
Yeah, I don't know that I believe in it, but I'm aware of it.
Occam's razor. The easiest explanation is Lion and the Lamb was never in the Bible. It was always the lamb and the wolf and the lion and the oxen or whatever. I forget exactly how it's actually written. All right, but somebody came along and they wrote a hymn talking about the lion and the lamb, and so everybody assumes that it's in the Bible. Well, it's not. Okay. So these people that believe in the Mandela effect, it's like this. There's certain things that we run across, we all remember wrong. Okay? Because it's easier for us to remember that particular pattern than it is to remember the true pattern. Just because of the way it was presented. Okay? And so, being human beings, we have a tendency to remember things wrong in the same way. And so a bunch of us believe that it used to be a certain way, and then when we see the truth, it's like, huh, that's weird. I swear it was that way. Okay? But, you know, okay, so their reaction to that is now this video I watched, they went through, and they're looking at all these strange animals that they'd never heard of before, and it's like, how come we didn't hear about this in science class? All these brightly colored animals, all these strangely configured ones. I mean, the pig-nosed turtle and this strange fish with a bulbous head and eyes that face upward, and you can see through its dang head and see its brain and everything. And, you know, it's like, why didn't they teach us all this in science? Well, damn it. Your teacher'd never heard of it. That's why you didn't get taught in science. And plus, you went to public school. So they're trying to dumb you down. They didn't want you to know this weird stuff. They would make you ask questions.
That's like public school teaching you the Civil War was fought over slavery.
Oh, no. Well, it was. It was fought over slavery. It was fought over the effort to enslave everybody.
Well, yes, but they think it was a different kind of slavery.
Yeah, it was fought over the effort to take slavery out of private hands and put it into public hands. And now everybody's a public slave.
Yep. You got a Social Security number? You're a slave.
Well, I can argue yes and no on that, but for the most part, yes, you are. You've got the leash around your throat. You don't dare quit your job because then you wouldn't be able to pay your mortgage and you wouldn't be able to make your car payments and you wouldn't be able to continue to watch cable TV.
You can't have a bank account.
Oh, yeah, without a Social Security number, you can't have a bank account. Unless your friend does something crazy like opens one up for you and gives you the card and basically doesn't touch it anymore.
But then they got to use their Social Security number.
Yeah, somebody's Social Security number has to be used. Well, actually, no. Somebody's tax ID number has to be used.
Right.
Okay. So
that's
you can open up
tax ID.
You can open up a bank account without a Social Security number, but then you'll have to have a business with a tax ID number, or be a foreigner who was working here illegally, and they just assign you a tax ID number instead of a Social Security number, but who cares, because the two numbers look identical. It's only a matter of where they place the hyphens.
Right.
And in all honesty, when they're opening up a bank account, they're not using your Social Security number. They are giving you a tax ID number that's virtually identical to your Social Security number. You know, but if push came to shove, they'd move the hyphens around.
Basically, it's just your slave identification number.
Yeah, either way. I know. So.
Yeah. But if you're a slave to the system, you're a slave.
Well, yeah, and the Bible talks about the number of the beast. And I don't think anybody's going to go to hell because they have the number of the beast. Because
we all got
it. Are they going to go to hell because they have the number of the beast?
Huh?
I don't think there's anybody on this planet that would get away, because the governments of this world, they are the beast, and they assign everybody a number.
Yep.
Whether they ask for it or not.
Yep.
As soon as they find out about you, they pretty quickly assign you a number. You may never know what that number is, but you have a number.
Whether you accept it or not, if you have a child and you do not give them a Social Security number, and they find out you have a kid, they'll give your child a Social Security number anyway.
Pretty much.
You don't have to use it, but they'll give it. They'll give the child a Social Security number.
Yeah. Basically, what I look at with that number of the beast thing is, are you at least trying to detach yourself from it?
Right.
Because it's Christ's complaint, Pharisees and the Sadducees, is that their Corban rendered God's word to no effect. And the reason it rendered it to no effect is because through their Corbin system, they no longer had to take care of their parents or the needy or any of the other stuff because the government did it for them.
Right.
Well, what do we have now?
Same thing.
We have Social Security. We have welfare. These things take care of the poor and needy for us and take care of our folks so we don't have to. All right? And they'll shove them into an old folks home when they, you know, when they get so far along that they can't really take care of themselves anymore. And often they willingly go off into these things because they don't want to be a burden to their children. Well, damn it, they're supposed to be a burden to their children.
Their children were a burden to them when they were born.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
Turnabout's
the wrong emphasis. It's the wrong emphasis, but you're supposed to take care of your parents.
Right, just like they took care of you.
When and if my mom comes to the conclusion that she needs to be cared for, I'm going to have to get her another camper, and I will take care of her.
At whose expense?
Well, at mine, but, you know, and it'll be to the best of my ability. But more than likely, if she gets into that situation, it'll probably be a help to us because she's actually a pretty good gardener. And even if she doesn't do the gardening, she will instruct me appropriately.
Right. She could be a good advisor.
Oh, yeah. Which is the reason why your parents are supposed to be your burden. Because they're also your benefit.
Yeah, they're educated.
Okay? And, you know, it's, you know, this modern system, you know, man's Corbin, as opposed to God's Corbin, says that children are a curse.
They are.
Well, if your God is Uncle Sam, yes. Or if that demon Uncle Sam has burdened you enough because you've had children, then yes. But if you can avoid that demon and still raise your children, then they're a blessing.
Right. I wasn't able to avoid that demon.
No. And really, I wasn't either. Because my spouse worshipped that god.
Yep.
Worshipped demon.
Mine too.
And, you know, that entity, one of its children, California, took my children away from me. And did it in the worst possible way. It literally counseled my children and convinced them that I was Satan. Not in those exact words, but well, according to the trick, yes, yes. But, okay. So, rabbit holes again.
Metaphysical.
Yeah, poor lady, she's not going to get anything out of us because I'm going to keep going down rabbit holes. So you grab your scriptures and you study them carefully and you keep in mind that the very English words that you're looking at may have been translated wrong.
Well,
right?
How far away is Latin from Greek?
Quite a ways.
Okay, never mind.
And if you're going the Latin route, well, the Roman Catholic Church, so there's a major difference between the Roman Catholics, they do trace back their scriptures to an original Greek copy of the New Testament and they have copies of the Old Testament they used for their translation. But their translations, as I understand it, passed through a group of people called Gnostics, right? Which are interesting people, and their stuff should be studied. But you should keep in mind that they altered the text of the Bible to suit their beliefs.
Oh, yeah, the Catholics are one of the worst about doing that.
Well, yeah, so the Catholic Bible, which is a very interesting read, and I think you can get some spiritual lessons from it as well. Well, quite frankly, I think you can get spiritual lessons from reading Shakespeare and various other books. But you have to do it with prayer and consideration.
Prayer, what's that?
Well, in this case, I'm referring to talking to God.
I'm just kidding.
Well, no, that's actually an important question because we're actually supposed to pray to the church, which is not praying to the God. All right? I'm not saying all of our prayers are supposed to be to the church, but we're supposed to pray to the church. But what does that mean? Okay? You know, and that's another subject, but basically, if you need welfare, you're supposed to pray to your community, which is
right.
Your church. Okay? All right? You're not supposed to pray to Uncle Sam for your welfare.
Yeah,
Uncle Sam
is difficult for your church to be your welfare.
Because if you pray to Uncle Sam for your welfare, he'll give it to you, but he'll steal it from somebody else.
And he'll give it to you at a cost. Kind of like Satan.
Well, part of the cost is he steals it from your neighbor.
Right.
And because he steals it from your neighbor, and because ultimately you know that, whether you want to admit it or not, you're condoning him stealing from you.
Yep.
Because you condoned him stealing from your neighbor. All right. So anyway, so yeah, there's different definitions of prayer. And so a conversation with God, I use the word prayer in reference to a conversation with God. You need to seek out to learn the mind of God. What does God want? All right?
He wants
well,
your money.
Yeah, apparently he's very, very bad at handling it. Some comedian pointed that out. He created all the universe, but he can't handle money. So he's got these really rich preachers out there saying, give God your money so I can live in a big house and drive a fancy car and impress you and ask you for more money for God.
Right.
Yeah, somehow I don't think they're really speaking for God.
Well, the thing of it is if they are helping the community, then that's what your tithe is supposed to go to. If you're not going to physically get out there and help your community, but you support the church and the church is doing it, then that's what tithe is for, tithe and offering.
Well, ideally you get out there and you help the poor and whatever directly also. But ideally, you have a person who acts as a servant of God that you support.
Yeah, but more than one person needs to support that person.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to be able to do a very good job.
Well, yeah, it needs to be a community. A community needs to get together, and they need to select one person from their community who's willing. Can't force them. It has to be somebody who volunteers. It has to be somebody that the community recognizes for that position. and they support him, and he goes out and he does the main work of taking care of the widows and orphans in your community and making sure that, you know, the roads and stuff are taken care of and you know, arranging, you know, if you got a dispute between neighbors, maybe he will, if they select him to, for the purpose, he might arbitrate, you know, act as judge, or he might help the two people in dispute find a judge, which, again, they voluntarily accept.
And why does that have to be a he?
Doesn't have to be a he. I'm just, you know, as far as that goes, it could be an it. All right? He, she, or it. So it's probably not polite to call somebody who's a Morphidite an it. So, anyway. Some individual of their choosing, of their mutual choosing. So for these people in dispute, they at least have to agree on who they will have counsel them through their
right.
difficulties. Okay? You know,
it must be he.
Whatever.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So... but ideally, they have somebody in their community selected to do the brunt work.
The dirty work.
Well, yeah. And this person finds out who needs what done, where, when, why. And the early church met together on Sundays, not for the Sabbath, not to sit and tell interesting stories and make each other feel good. They met on Sunday because Sunday was the first day of work, and the first order of business is to find out what needed to be done in the community.
Right.
And so they met on Sunday to find out who needed their fences repaired, who needed, you know, which widow needed her roof repaired, you know, which orphan needed a new place to stay because for whatever reason he couldn't stay where he's been currently staying, you know, and, you know, the person they selected to do that job, you know, to find out what's supposed to be going on would pass the word on to the community on Sunday, and they'd all talk among each other and work it out and figure it out. And, you know, Lord forbid somebody in the community didn't like the person that everybody else selected as this servant. Well, he simply stopped paying him and he'd take his tithe and he'd find somebody else who would serve. And so there might be two servants in the community. And people could pick and choose between them, depending on how well they did their job.
Right.
So, but, yeah, the main purpose of that servant is to tie the community together. And to tie that community together with other communities. Because, so you got 10 families together. 10 or 12 families together, and they picked out this guy to serve them, all right? Well, if you got 10 or 12 communities in the area, all these guys that the communities picked out as servants would get together and form their own little community, and they'd pick out among them somebody to serve them. And his job would be to go back and forth between the communities and figure out what each community needed. And so they'd probably meet on Friday. Because you're supposed to take a rest on Saturday. But you got to know before Sunday what's going on out in the bigger world. And so you meet up on Sunday, and it's like, well, our community is pretty well taken care of, but the community three over had a flash flood, wiped out all their crops, and they need somebody to go in there and help them replant real quick. And they could probably use some donations of food because they're going to be short on food this winter. You know? Anyway. But, you know, so your slave number. Are you trying to get out of it? Are you trying to build communities to take care of each other? You know, so are you trying to do your welfare by fear, force, and violence? Or are you trying to do your welfare by faith, hope, and charity? Anyway, where were we? You've done a good job of making me diatribe three times tonight. And now you're quiet. Am I by myself?
Now, nope, just seeing how long you could monologue.
Not very long.
You're doing good, and then you died out because I wasn't sitting there pumping you.
Yeah. See, that's the trick.
It's a whole new world.
I can monologue. So if I have a book, and I got lots of stuff, I've got lots of stuff I stored away in case you weren't online, that I could pull up and start talking about. I could read stuff to people and start talking about it.
There you go.
Well, I can do it if I have to.
How do we do the metaphysical and stay holy? What I was saying was, don't go too deep too fast.
Yeah.
You know, there's good spirits and there's evil spirits out there. And if you, it's like walking on a sheet of ice. You know, if you don't have any safeguards, you don't have, you know, a safety rope, and you just go run out on the pond or the lake with ice on it, and you're not careful, you could find a soft spot and fall clean through and be screwed.
Or meet God early.
Or meet God early, yeah. But like our friend who dove in too fast, she had a bad experience. And it was kind of like a shell shock to her, and she had to take a few steps back, and she didn't do anything hardly metaphysical for a long time. Now she's starting to get back into it again.
Oh, well, it might not be who I thought you're talking about, but if it was who you're, if you're talking about who I think you are, she would purposely walk into dangerous situations. She was thrill-seeking.
Well, yes, that's part of the problem. She was a thrill-seeker. But, she would just do anything metaphysical without doing homework on it. She'd just go ahead and just jump on it. Ooh, that sounds fun. Boom, let's go do this. And then she got burned.
Well, yeah, she walked into the middle of somebody's spell once. She went to a club where they were doing all this magic and stuff, willy-nilly. And these two girls apparently were casting a spell, and she walked right through the middle of it. And they were pretty pissed at her. And they probably threw a couple whammies at her for it.
Do what?
Oh, whammies, you know, threw some negative energy at her.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know, just because they were pissed.
Right.
You know, if you want to do metaphysical and spiritual stuff, well, stop and think.
You got to educate yourself.
Would God throw whammies at people just because he got pissed at them?
Oh, yeah, that's not holy.
Okay, so that doesn't fit with the character of God, so whatever they were doing was inappropriate. But what they were doing was within this universe using things that God created. And so you could still learn from them, but you would have to be very leery about how they were doing it. I mean, picking locks is not a bad skill. All right? And you can learn from a thief how to pick locks. All right? But that thief is probably also going to encourage you to pick locks that belong to people that you don't have permission to pick.
Well, the metaphysical is kind of like guns. Do guns cause crime?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. You can use anything for good or evil. Even the Bible.
Yeah, they point at Japan and say, Japan doesn't have any gun crime. I go, well, yeah, they don't have any guns. So instead, they have sword crime and knife crime and baseball bat crime.
Sword
and they
crime.
Have a higher murder rate and a higher suicide rate than we have here. It's just not
they
done with guns.
Samurai sword crime.
Yeah, they do. And they have a police state. Because the police, knowing there's no gun, walk into your house anytime they want.
Right. They'll be riding down the road with their motorcycle and slice your head off.
Oh, that too. So instead of drive-by shootings, drive-by beheadings.
Drive-by slicing.
Drive-by slicings.
Yeah, it don't matter what you do. The bad guys are always going to find a weapon of choice and use it against you.
Well, yeah.
You can kill somebody with a spoon. So spoons cause crime. Spoons also make you fat.
And I can kill somebody with my pinky. But
we should make spoons illegal.
Everybody has to have their pinky removed because you can kill people with them.
Yeah. No, your thumb. You can kill people easier with your thumb. Off with your thumbs.
Well.
Ow, paper cut. We need to ban paper. Paper's evil.
Yeah. So, you know, it's...
So the metaphysical is just like paper. Or spoons. Or guns.
Well, it's...
Or knives.
Or
the Bible.
Technology. All right? It is. It's technology. It's knowledge. It's the tree of knowledge is what it is, all right? Computers are the tree of knowledge. Books are the tree of knowledge. Be quite frank, while the Bible is trying to give you spiritual lessons, which are from the tree of life, okay, and the tree of life is what will give you eternal life, our brains are wired for the tree of knowledge. And
right.
And the Bible, the physical Bible, the words on paper, that is tree of knowledge. But it's trying to get you over to the tree of life, where you need to be. And that's where you need to be. You need to be on the tree of life.
But wait
okay?
a minute. Didn't God tell Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge?
Yeah.
So we should avoid the tree of knowledge.
Well, Yes.
The tree of knowledge is evil.
But since we're hanging from the tree.
So you're not supposed to read your Bible because it's evil.
Well, you're not supposed to read it with a pure mindset of tree of knowledge. You're supposed to keep in mind there's spiritual lessons there.
Yeah, I know, I'm just playing.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of our listeners are probably I don't even know how to say it. In a comedy routine, there's the person who tells the jokes, and then there's the straight man, who all the jokes are told on. I'd be the straight man. We probably got lots of listeners who are straight men. So I'm here for their benefit.
Right.
Because some of your jokes, they might take seriously.
Whatever.
I learned something new.
If they don't like it, they can eat the barrel of my shotgun.
I learned that when my boots get soaking wet, if I take newspaper and wad them up and stick them inside my shoes, by the next morning, my shoes will be pretty much dry.
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. Whoever don't like it, they can suck on my shotgun.
Okay.
I think that's what What's-His-Face said. He was anti-gun control. And his happy phrase was, whoever's for gun control can suck on his shotgun or something like that.
Yep. I kind of agree with him.
My combination AK-57 is rated as a triple barrel double scope T-seeking shotgun.
So here I am in my very crowded camper. Just before the rains started, I went and bought your bird seed and the cat food. And when I got home, it was kind of late. And I knew it was probably going to rain that night, and I didn't want them to get wet in the back of the truck. So I grabbed them and stuck them in my camper.
You idiot!
And now here they are in my way because it's raining so bad I can't take them over to the truck.
So the bird seed is in a paper bag, right?
Yes.
What would happen if you just put the paper bag out in the field and let it grow?
A lot of the seeds would rot, but some would sprout. You'd have a huge mound of sunflowers and millet and whatever, all coming out of the same 2 or 3 square feet. Anyway, ideally you'd like me to go spread the whole thing all over the place, right?
Well, basically down by the kitchen area, because that's where, in the field, but down by the kitchen area so that it's protected.
So kind of the area where Bill plowed for us.
Yeah, or the old garden.
But yeah.
Not where the onions and the garlic's growing.
No. Oh. By the way, you were right. We should scatter that fertilizer over the onions because the onions that you fertilized are doing better than the others. So when I have opportunity to do that, I'll do that.
Cool.
Also, I planted two rows of onions up in the upper garden, one red and one white, and they look like they're doing beautifully and pretty well demonstrated that if I'm going to garden, I need to mound up the earth at least 8 to 10 inches so when the floods come, which they are doing, the plants are up above the flood.
Right, because when it rains, it pours in Missouri.
Yeah, our upper pond and the one over by the goat yard have filled up 4 times so far this month.
We need geese.
They've emptied out 3 times so far.
We need a backhoe and some geese.
Yeah, the upper pond, I need to burn it out. And since it's mostly poison ivy, I'll be taking a chance.
Okay. What about this? Why don't we just call Mark and ask him how much to come over and dig out the pond and make the berm wider. So he'll take, since he's got tracks on his backhoe instead of tires, he can probably go ahead and knock that honey locust over so that you can cut it up and burn it, whatever, on the ground. And then move all the dirt that's in the pond to the other side of the berm, and then we can go get some geese.
Yep. Well, while we're trying to save the money for that, I will eventually get to it with my chainsaw.
Well, it's whatever. But, I mean, yeah, we'll have to call him and ask him, you know, how much it's going to cost to do that. I know he wants this, you know, minimum, you know, at minimum hours.
Well, what we do is we come up with enough jobs to keep them busy for that long. And we just prioritize them. Okay, we want this, this, and this done first. When you finish that, you can go on to this and this and this. And if you run out of time, you run out of time.
Right. Well, there you go. Start with the little pond up front. And if he still has time, he can go to the back and start digging back there.
Yep. And honestly, to make it more cost effective, it's probably good to have the trees that are in the way down. So there's trees in the pond and stuff like that. I should probably have them down already.
No, he can knock them down with the backhoe.
Yeah, but you're talking about having him knock the one on the honey locust down? If he knocks that honey locust down, it's going to tear up the dam.
True. I didn't think about that.
So,
okay, so just dump dirt around it and then let you cut it out.
Yep. Well, I'm going to go harvest all the needles off of it. And then I'll cut it down and drop it in the pond.
Hey, when it stops raining, that would be a good time to start a bonfire.
Yep.
So, like tomorrow or Monday would be a good time to do it.
Woohoo! All right, give my toolbox to your mom and the cards.
She's not going to be off work until Wednesday.
Oh, well.
Actually, a good time to burn it would be like right now.
You got plenty of gasoline. There you go. Get her done.
I think your mom would be very mad at me if I did it without her here.
Nah. She would rather you be productive.
I'm going to tell on you.
Why?
Like I said, she'd be highly disappointed.
No, she won't.
Well, right now I'm trying to get things planted. I got over half of my sweet potato vines planted. I planted one package of your peppermint.
How many packages came?
13.
And there was 10,000 seeds in each packet?
Yes, but I did not do a very effective job of spreading it around the first one. So what I want to do is I'd like to get a quart jar of sand and mix one packet of seeds into that very thoroughly.
There you go.
So I can get the seeds spread around very, very thoroughly. I think I could do all of the oak tree with one packet if I did it that way. Now, there is a problem. The packets instruct that the seeds are very small, and if you overwater, the seeds will flow all over the place.
Right.
Well, right now, Mother Nature is overwatering.
Right, so it's going to wash all our seeds down the river.
Basically. But I planted them along the roadway in front of the tree, and my thoughts were that the seeds would wash down under the tree, and some of them would get stuck in various locations. And so
I'm
thinking I planted under the tree by planting in front of the tree.
Yeah, with that theory, you should have planted at the top of the hill.
Yes. But then some would get lost in the grass, and we might never see it. I don't know. So.
Are the seeds in paper packages or are they in plastic?
They're in paper.
And just throw the paper after it stops raining. Just throw the paper on your on the trails or around the place, and you get a big old patch of it, right thick. And then it'll grow through the paper. And then
it says that the seeds require not to bury the seeds because the seeds require sunlight to sprout. They also said to plant it in containers because if you plant it in the open, it will spread all over the place.
Well, that's what we want.
I know. So some of the instructions we're going to disregard.
Yeah, a lot of seeds, I just, if they're in a paper packet, I just throw the paper packet down and let it grow through the packet and let the packet kind of be a protector, kind of like guerrilla gardening with seed balls or whatever. The paper acts as a protectant. And then when they sprout, then they've already gotten root and the birds aren't likely to eat them.
Yeah.
But yep. I guess maybe with peppermint you can't do that.
Well, there'd be limitations. But you could probably still put peppermint seeds into a seed ball. It's just they wouldn't sprout until the seed ball started to break down and some of the seeds were exposed to sunlight and rain at the same time.
Well, and I'm sure that they would get some sunlight through the paper.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I plan on planting all 12 packets, well, 12
okay.
of the packets. Then one of the packets I plan on doing in containers, and then when the containers start producing, I'll just divide them, replace half the soil, and put half the plants into the ground. And then when they spread to the other, to the replacement soil, divide them again. Rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. Yeah. But next time I can afford to, I'll buy some more seeds.
Woohoo.
We'll have
so how much would it cost you to get 130,000 seeds?
$100.
Really?
Yep.
Smokers. Could you buy it cheaper by the pound?
Probably, if I could find it by the pound. That was the biggest variety I could find. But once we get them growing, they'll reproduce like crazy. They're like, they reproduce like comfrey.
Nah, they reproduce better than comfrey does.
There you go.
Comfrey, you have to go out of your way to divide it and spread it around, which I failed to do here, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to end up digging up my comfrey, even though my comfrey is pretty well full size at this point. I'm going to divide it up and spread it around. So, I'll do whatever.
So basically, with the mint, all we got to do is get it started. Once we get it started, it'll pretty much take care of itself.
Oh, yeah, and every patch that starts up, just take out a shovelful and move it someplace.
Yep.
Put it someplace where the mint isn't growing, And if it doesn't take, well, then do it again. But, do it again until it does take.
That's it. Yeah, the next batch of seeds that I buy, we're going to put it at the top of the hill where we drive so it'll get plenty of sunlight and it'll spread downhill.
Yep. Yep.
And it doesn't have to compete with the tall grass because we drive over it.
Well, sweet potatoes. One of the things the permaculture design course talks about is sweet potatoes make great ground cover.
Uh-huh.
And they said the best way to keep it from spreading too far is drive next to it. If you're driving a path all the time, the sweet potatoes won't go any further because you're running them over.
Right.
So same thing with the mint. Now the package says that it dries off fleas and it didn't say anything about ticks.
Well, Google it. But fleas are one of the good things to drive off.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's useless. I'm just saying that it's... It might not do everything we want it to. So we'll have to plant some more other stuff as well. And since the land seems to grow in so well, if we can get mint going, and I'm planting lots of onions, I don't know, we might have to rename it to the Minty Onion.
Peppermint repels ticks.
There you go. And that's what it is, it's peppermint.
Yep. Yeah, I looked at the reviews where I bought it, and it got a bunch of negative reviews. Apparently, they were marketing it as spearmint. And they're like, this is not spearmint. This is mint. Just regular mint. I'm like, perfect. That's what I want.
Well, the packaging says peppermint.
Yeah, apparently they're selling the peppermint under a spearmint label on the website. But I was like, hey, cool. That's what I want. Ching. Thanks for the negative reviews.
Thank you for creating accuracy in advertisement.
Yeah. So I'll give them a positive review. And my positive review will say, I read all the negative reviews and they said this was not spearmint, this was regular mint, and that's what I wanted. So that's what I got.
Talking
Thank you.
Of mint, I wish somebody could definitively give me a description that defines the difference between chocolate mint and peppermint.
Oh, I know. Because there really is no difference.
Is there no difference?
I don't think there is.
Okay, because I had two plants, and looking at them very carefully, it looked like the chocolate mint had a shorter distance between leaves. All right? And was ever so slightly milder. But that wasn't really enough for me because if I saw the two separate from each other, I would not be able to say definitively this is one and that's not and not the other. That make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be able to. You know, maybe there's a special ruffle to the edge of the leaf or something, or maybe there's a brown pigment in chocolate mint that I just haven't caught on to, but the two look pretty much the same to me. You know, and I can find stems on things that I know are peppermint.
Different.
Exactly with the chocolate mint.
Between mint and peppermint. Mint is a common household name and is a well-loved flavor of both young and the old. However, confusion takes place when different types of mint are put into the picture. Mint can refer to any plant that comes from the genus of plants belonging to the family Lamiaceae, including peppermint. Peppermint is a hybrid mint variety of spearmint and watermint. Peppermint extract is made from pure peppermint oil, whereas mint extract can be derived from any number of, or combination of, culinary mint plants.
That was helpful.
Okay. Not sure I understood any of that, but...
Yeah, let me copy this.
I grew up in a family where hard work was just sort of par for the course. It's what we did. To think the construction would...
Oops. You dropped it.
So when trying to grow mint, you will see that there are a lot of common varieties of mint that are available for you to purchase at your garden store. So let's review some of these varieties. Sweet mint is the most common type of mint that you can find. It's got large leaves and pretty much a all-around versatile mint. Then you have spearmint, which is used for a lot of recipes that you would see. You have peppermint, which can be used to prepare peppermint teas and a lot of other drinks. And then you have the flavored mints, which are very special varieties of mints, like chocolate mint or pineapple mint, which can add minty flavors to a lot of your drinks. Now, here's a little trivia for you. If a recipe doesn't specify which mint to use, what would be the mint that you would use? All right, ready for the answer? If you guess spearmint, then you're absolutely right. When people just say mint, they mean spearmint. Or just listen to your taste buds and use the mint that you like the most. So let's take a look at each of these varieties in detail. The sweet mint is bred for larger leaves and a mint flavor that is pretty much a neutral flavor that can be used in a lot of dishes for preparing drinks, teas,
candy.
It's commonly available and very easy to grow. Peppermint is a type of mint which is a hybrid mint and it has a very high menthol content. So it feels more like your chewing gum or toothpaste kind of mint. Very intense flavor.
It's kind of darker leaf too.
A lot of drinks. Spearmint, the most common variety of mint that you will use, a very, very versatile mint. It can be used in a lot of kitchen recipes. It can be used to flavor your drinks, your teas, and it has a lot of health benefits. So if you're looking to start growing any one kind of mint, I would highly recommend that you start growing spearmint. It's very easy to grow and a very versatile mint. Flavored mints like chocolate mint, apple mint, pineapple mint have very specific purposes. So if you have a recipe that requires certain flavors and mint, this may be a good thing to start growing in your garden. And you can also use flavored mints in a lot of drinks, and they impart very special flavors to those drinks. Mint is generally never grown from seeds. The reasons being, it's not only very difficult to grow them because the germination rate is not so good. The plants that grow from them do not resemble their parents, so it's not a good idea to grow them from seed.
Nah.
Instead, what you can do is take some cuttings like these here and put them in a bowl of water and then add some dirt in it. And that encourages the mint shoots to give out these roots that you can see. So as soon as you have some roots here, you can transplant these into pots and they will start growing just like a new mint plant. So if you have friends that can give you mint cuttings, that's the easiest way to propagate mint. Now, if you do not have mint cuttings, you can buy mint plants or herbs from your local garden center and then plant them. To plant mint, you need to use containers that are wide and not deep because mint sends out sprawling vines which will go all around your container. So a container of this size is good enough for growing mint.
My tomato planter.
There are two spearmint plants that we have here.
It's a wide
bowl. We're planting in this pot. So we take out the plant from the given pot and then we plant it onto our wider container. And you can try to loosen the roots on the bottom a little bit so they start growing in a better way. But even if you just place them around the container and add some dirt around it, they should do a fairly good job. Mint is a very invasive plant.
Invasive.
So never ever plant mint directly on the ground. I do not see any reason why you should be growing mint on the ground because it will just take over your yard and all the plants around it. It's a very vigorous and invasive plant. So most of the time you would grow mint in containers like these. And they should grow for at least about a year or two in a container of this size.
You need a website. Why not do it yourself? With Wix, you can create your own professional website.
No, go to KCLAI.com. KCLA International.
Never plant mint on the ground because it's invasive. It'll take over your yard. Good!
Yeah, that's what we want. Tick repellent.
Heck, it's better than grass.
Heck yeah.
Roll around in that and you'll smell good all day.
I know that's right. So, yeah. So, growing from seed may not be the best thing, but my philosophy is do what nature does. Nature produces seeds so that it can grow from seed. Why would it produce a seed if it's not going to grow from a seed?
Well, ask the banana.
Yeah. I'm sure even the banana grows from a seed.
Used to.
But if you pick it prematurely, it won't.
Well, we'll have to build our greenhouse and grow some banana plants in our greenhouse and get those ripe bananas that you're talking about. But there's plenty of plants out there that produce seeds that are non-viable, which tells me somewhere in the past they produced by seed. If it's got a flower, it used to produce by seed. So, but there's plenty of plants that don't produce by seed anymore.
Right.
Which doesn't mean they didn't always. You know, if they produce a flower, they pretty well, the only purpose of a flower is to produce fruit, and fruits to encase seed.
Right.
And seeds are for growing. So,
well, and I'm sure that a lot of them spread and grow by roots as well, but why would they produce a seed if it's not going to grow from a seed?
I agree.
So, I mean, unless their sole purpose is to feed the birds, which I doubt. You know, yeah.
Anyway. I was planting a bunch of beans today, just before the podcast, that are probably
beans.
Just going to be birds.
Beans, magical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel. Say beans for every meal.
Yeah, I planted those strange yellow Mexican beans that we picked up, I think. Was that at the, that was in Collins, I think, at Buzz's Market we picked them up. I'm not sure.
Mexican beans?
Yeah, the labeling is all foreign naming and stuff.
Don't know. Is it those one beans that almost look like soybeans, but they're not?
They're too long to be soybeans. They're not round. They're bean-shaped.
Oh, okay.
These are bean-shaped beans, but they're bright yellow.
Right, yellow beans.
They look strange, but that's all right. I planted them, and if they produce beans, I will pick them, and I will sell them. And if toward the end of the season, I will let them go to seed.
There you go.
So
what?
So I planted them, but I suspect that since I didn't cover them up, most of them are going to be bird food.
Bird food.
I did keep a small remnant of the seeds, though, so I could plant them under more controlled conditions. But it's raining. Can't finish my tilling. It's going to be raining for a long, long time. So, as Bill said, you plant when you can, you know? If you can't prepare the soil, then you plant anyway, you know? So you do the best you can, but you plant. That's all you do. Because if you wait for ideal conditions, you might not plant anything.
Oh, yeah, especially in Missouri.
Yep. So.
So speaking of birds, what's holding us back from getting more chickens?
Me building the chicken coop. But we could get the chickens, just turn them loose. And I want to get silkies because silkies stay close to the ground, and they're generally really, really good at hatching their eggs.
Right. Mostly right now we want tick eaters.
Yes, so we want guineas. Now, the guineas, we need to have a coop where I can keep them in for a month or two before we turn them loose.
But chickens won't eat ticks?
They will, especially silkies, because they stay close to the ground.
Okay, so that's what we need.
Okay, so Verde Valley. Valley is spelled V-A-L-L-E. That's the brand name of these beans.
Okay.
And apparently they're distributed by a company called Mayocoba.
No habla.
Yeah, me too. Let me see what else I can discern off this package. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. They are Mayocoba beans.
Okay.
Peruano Mayocoba. Mayocoba beans. I have to look it up because, quite frankly, everything's foreign language here and I could be...
retarded.
Yep.
Okay, you ready for Ron Paul?
Are we ever ready for Ron Paul?
Always.
All righty.
Okay, here we go.
Paul with your weekly update for Monday, April 24th. I love WikiLeaks. Candidate Donald Trump said on October 10th on the campaign trail, he praised the organization for reporting on the darker side of the Hillary Clinton campaign. It was information likely leaked by a whistleblower from within the Clinton campaign to WikiLeaks. Back then, he praised WikiLeaks for promoting transparency, but candidate Trump looks less like President Trump every day.
Yeah.
Candidate praised whistleblowers and WikiLeaks often on the campaign trail. In fact, candidate Trump loved WikiLeaks so much, he mentioned the organization more than 140 times in the final month of the campaign alone. Now, as president, it seems Trump wants WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange sent to prison. Last week, CNN reported, citing anonymous intelligence community sources, that the Trump administration's Justice Department was seeking the arrest of Assange and had found a way to charge the WikiLeaks founder for publishing classified information without charging other media outlets such as the New York Times and the Washington Post for publishing the same information. It might have been tempting to write off the CNN report as fake news, as is much of their reporting, but for the fact, President Trump said in an interview on Friday that issuing an arrest warrant for Julian Assange would be okay with me. Trump's condemnation of WikiLeaks came just a day after his CIA director, Michael Pompeo, attacked WikiLeaks as a hostile intelligence service. Pompeo accused Assange of being a fraud, a coward hiding behind a screen. Pompeo's word choice was no accident. By accusing WikiLeaks of being a hostile intelligence service rather than a publisher of information on illegal and abusive government practices leaked by whistleblowers, he signaled that the organization has no First Amendment rights. Like many in Washington, he does not understand that the First Amendment is a limitation on government, rather than a granting of rights to citizens. Pompeo was declaring war on WikiLeaks. But not that long ago, Pompeo also cited WikiLeaks as an important source of information. In July, he drew attention to the WikiLeaks release of information damaging to the Clinton campaign, writing, "Need proof that the fix was in from President Obama on down?" There is a word for this sudden about-face on WikiLeaks and the transparency it provides us into the operations of the prominent and powerful. Hypocrisy. The Trump administration's declaration of war on whistleblowers and WikiLeaks is one of the greatest disappointments in these first 100 days. Donald Trump rode into the White House with promises that he would drain the swamp, meaning that he would overturn the apple carts of Washington's vested interests. By unleashing those same vested interests on those who hold them in check, the whistleblowers and those who publish their revelations, he has turned his back on those who elected him. Julian Assange, along with the whistleblowers who reveal to us the evil that is being done in our name, are heroes. They deserve our respect and admiration, not a prison cell. If we allow this president to declare war on those who tell the truth, we have only ourselves to blame. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
Traitor!
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, April 24th. I love
April 24th. Yeah, Trump was bragging about his whole 100-day thing, and he turned his back on us within the first 100 days. But we already knew that was going to happen.
Well, Ron Paul, we only have ourselves to blame if we let this happen. Well, the whole damn thing is our fault, and we only have ourselves to blame. I have you to blame because you let it happen.
Right. Yeah, another thing he said, too, is, you know, something similar to what we've been saying, and that is the Constitution, the First Amendment, all of these things that people say grant us freedom, they're not granting us freedom. They're restricting the government's control. We already had the freedom. It is these codes, if you will, like the Constitution, are more or less putting the government in check, not granting us freedoms and liberty.
Well, they do serve a very important function, even though they're just a sheet of paper. The government of the world recognizing these pieces of paper as their quote-unquote authority, when you read those pieces of paper testify to the government's knowledge that, yes, indeed, you do have these certain rights and such, you know, and you know, they're admitting it with their own paperwork, all right?
Right.
We don't necessarily need their paperwork to have those rights, and we definitely don't, but their paperwork proves that they know it.
Right.
So, and the Constitution says that men are endowed with certain inalienable rights. That's absolutely true. And an inalienable right is one that you can't even give up. You can't. It's your right. You don't even have to know about it. It's your right. You stand before a judge, and the judge says, well, you have to be able to name your rights in order to exercise them. That's sort of true, but you still have those rights, whether you can name them or not. And if that judge is going to violate those rights, he's still in violation, whether you catch him at it or not.
Violation!
It's raining inside my camper.
Uh-oh.
My camper isn't leaking.
It's raining through the door?
No. No, what's happening is the rain is falling on the outside of my camper, and it's cooling the walls of my camper sufficiently that the moisture inside my camper is condensing on the ceiling and then dripping down on me.
Ah. Hate it when it happens.
Yeah, so it's almost like the rain is passing through the fiberglass.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
The only thing I can say, though, is it's sort of in balance because, you know, when the raindrops hit me, then they evaporate off of me and recondense and hit me again.
That's cool. Take that, you dirty rat. I'm not going to hit you once with your own sweat. I'm going to hit you 5 times.
Yeah.
I can't find my tablet. My tablet is missing.
Yep, I just got dripped on again.
Oh, where did my tablet go? Oh, where can it be?
Yeah,
so I'm probably going to have to go back over the road.
Yeah, I'm kind of sorry to hear that, but...
Yep, somebody's got to pay the bills. And right now, I can't do it. I'm broke. I owe my mom $500, and she's talking about giving me more, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to take your money.
Yeah, you're just going to be in more in debt. So,
yep.
You're supposed to fatten your mom. That's what the Bible says.
Well, she knows that I take care of her, and I don't... What she says, you know, well, I take care of her emotionally, you know, I don't browbeat her like my stupid brother does. You know, I'm always there for my mom, well, not always, but I'm pretty much always there for my mom. And she knows I'm going to be there for her in the future, where she knows my brother won't.
Right.
Yeah, I've pretty much almost always been the one who's been there for her. So she's trying to be there for me, but I don't like people to be in debt to me, and I don't like to be in debt to others.
Well, that's why every 7 years you forgive debt.
Yeah. That's hard for me also. But I do it anyway.
But the society around us...
Huh?
The society around us doesn't. The society around us now pushes for a 50-year debt.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing of it is the people that owe me money are never going to pay me back, so I pretty much just consider it a lost cause. They borrowed money with the intent to pay it back. Well, actually, no, they did not. They borrowed the money saying that they had an intent to pay me back, but they never did. They're moochers. So what's the difference between a moocher and welfare? Hello?
The degree of violence they use in order to extract funds out of your pocket.
Right. So welfare uses somebody else to be their bully boy.
Yeah, it uses the force of the criminal element of government in order to extract money out of your pocket.
Where moochers do it directly.
Yep, and you can always tell a moocher no. They just give you sad puppy eyes when you tell them no.
Guilt trips.
Yep.
Or sob stories. Poor me crap.
Poor me.
Which is pretty much the same thing welfare people do, but they
say it's Uncle Sam.
Well, they say it to you too, but they get the money directly from Uncle Sam, who gets it directly from you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I know welfare recipients, and they're always crying to everybody about their problems.
My cousin did.
Yeah. But they're not doing anything, well, they are doing something about it. They're making you pay for it.
Yeah, my cousin went from homeowner to welfare recipient. Because she couldn't keep renters in her house. And when she got renters, they wouldn't pay the rent.
Because the government protected them.
Yeah, we could say that.
The government made it difficult for the landlord to evict the...
In this particular case, I will not name the true cause because it'd be kind of rude and inconsiderate to my cousin to say that on public radio.
Even though we have no public.
We might someday.
The podcast...
Watching, they might listen to this particular podcast and say, I know who his cousin is. She did what? Let me ask her.
By the way, this podcast has an expiration date of October of this year.
Okay.
That's when the server goes down and does not get renewed.
Ah.
Unless I can come up with some funds, it's going to cost about $100 a year, so I get a discount if I renew it for 2 years, so it's going to cost $200.
Right, and since we have no advertisers, it's not paying itself.
Yeah, and we barely have any listeners.
Right. We suck.
Yeah. So, yeah. If somebody cares about our podcast, we can use some donations. Not a lot. just a little. We got maybe 8 listeners.
Woo-hoo.
Maybe.
It'd be nice if we had 8 callers.
So, yeah.
Now, is there a reason why you paid for the service? Because I know you can do the, you know, free conferencing thing for free.
It's not free conferencing. It's where we host the audio.
Oh, where you actually put... Oh, okay.
Yeah, because on freeconferencing.com, you can't... you can't listen to all of the old podcasts. You can only listen to the last one that was recorded.
Ah.
Unless you have administrative password, you can go in and listen to all of them.
So only if you own it can you listen to them all.
Yeah. And they're not all there because I deleted most of them. After I downloaded them, I deleted them.
Well, that was a wild and crazy thing to do. What'd you do that for?
Well, I don't do it anymore. I quit doing it when Jerry said that people can call in with their phones and listen to the podcast through free conferencing.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I quit deleting them. Then I found out that wasn't true. You can listen to them, but you can only listen to the last one that was recorded. So, yeah, you gotta download it and put it somewhere so that other people can listen to it.
Right. So that's sort of like when I listen to the American Independence Hour. If I don't download it, it's gone. It comes out once a week, and I think the last time I listened to it was like a month ago. So I missed 3 episodes, and I'll never be able to hear them.
Nope. That's the way our podcast is going to be, basically. You can still find it through freeconferencing.com after October. But after that, I don't know. I won't even be advertising it anymore. Let's see here. I'm going to the server now. Yeah, we've already used 9 gigs. That's the disk space that's used already on this website.
Yeah, we talk a lot.
Yeah. 9 gigs of talk. Nine gigs of verbiage.
Verbiage? What's verbiage? That's
yeah.
Some sort of vegetable?
Yeah. I thought about moving it over to my other server, but have limited space there. And like I said, we're not making any money off of this, and the other server costs me more money.
Now, you've preserved all the audio, haven't you?
Do what?
You have preserved all the previous podcasts, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, they're all on my computer.
And there's other solutions to getting them up onto the web. And we'll have to discuss those sometime in the future.
Perhaps.
There's a torrent-based system where, sort of torrent-based, where your stuff goes up on the web, but it's not, quote-unquote, server. It's distributed among other users of the service.
Well, we can do that now. Put our podcasts in a torrent, BitTorrent. Dale, maybe that'll get us the funds that we need. If we get enough listeners, maybe it'll get us enough funds that we need to keep it going.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Because my other server, it cost me about $1,000 a year. And I have limited space on it. I don't have. This one here I have unlimited space, but it doesn't work the same. The other one works the way I need it to. This one, it's not really that good. I have unlimited hosting. That's the only thing that's good about it. But otherwise, it sucks. I had Trucker Date on this server, and it couldn't handle the bandwidth. So this server is basically only good for a site that has limited bandwidth.
Well, one possibility is look up the Distributed Library of Alexandria. And
oh, yeah, I already know about that.
Okay. Well, explain it to the listeners then.
You explain it better, I'm sure.
I'm not sure I got my facts straight. But as I understand it, it's a service where you pay once and your stuff is basically up forever. You know, as long as there's one copy of it floating around, it's available to everybody.
So how much is it?
I don't know. I didn't look into it that much.
What's it called again?
The Distributed Library of Alexandria.
Is it protected by the New World Order?
It's protected from the New World Order.
There's a Facebook page. Britannica. Their website is not up and running.
Right. As I recall, I had to jump through some hoops before I could find their current website. Because it used to be...
I was on their Facebook page. And the website that they had on their Facebook page did not work.
Yeah, it used to be something like DLOA. I think that was .org or .net. And that went away.
Yeah, DLOA.net.
And that went away. So I was able to find them. I'll look for them again. You might look through my Dropbox. I might have it in there.
Speaking of Dropbox, Cozy.
Cody?
Cozy. COZI. Cozy.
Okay. Is that better?
That'll be a task calendar share thingy that will work.
Oh. Okay.
We've been working on trying to figure out a way that we can share a task manager on our phone.
Yeah.
That is a good one. My mom uses it, and she has me on her Cozy, her family Cozy.
Okay, check,
you
check
can
that.
You can create different cozies for different groups or different cozy groups. And she has basically a family cozy group.
So we'll have to make a D&D inner and outer circle one.
Something like that. We'll make a D&D one. And it will make a DD&D friends one.
Yeah.
Or friends of DD&D.
So that we can have events and stuff. Instead of sending a million text messages like a certain friend of ours did to everybody, we have a cozy.
There you go. But not everybody not all of them can do Cozy because they don't all have computers or smartphones.
True enough. So they'll have to be on the calling circle.
But anybody who is on that circle will, I'm sure, tell the people who are not. Because we all know our favorite people that don't have those resources.
Yipper, yipper.
Yipper, yippers. But if you follow the DD&D Facebook, I will usually be posting them there as well if you do have a Facebook. Just look up DD&D, Off-Grid Organic Farming Retreat, or go to daviddavidanddavid.com and click on our Facebook link at the top of the page.
David, yeah, David, and you?
David, David, and... That's it. DD and D. Which cat do we have that's name starts with a D?
We'll have to rename one.
Yeah, I don't think we have any D cats.
No D cats?
Let's see. We have China.
You don't have any decaffeinated coffee?
We have squirrel. We have orange. We have Tux. We have Tabs. We have Mimi. Midnight. Or Shadow.
Okay, we rename him Dark.
We have Stinky.
Stinky Junior.
Most our cats start with a T or an S.
Hey, wait a minute.
T and S. Anyways, okay, so smoke. Senorita. Snow. Susie Q.
We didn't name her.
Who am I missing? Oh.
Oh, wait, you had another
name.
Who?
Siam.
Yeah. You had another name for Susie Q. What was it?
I don't remember. Oh.
It was
Jealous.
Jealous. Okay, that's a G, not a D. Okay.
That's a J.
Jealous? Yeah, okay, it's a J.
Then we have Mr. Gray. We have Jitters. We have Mystery. I think that's it.
I haven't seen Jitters for a long time. And
did
Tabs,
I miss any?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Tabs has been going over to Jeff's place a lot.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, Tabs figured out when I was going over to take care of his goat, if I left here and drove over there, he'd be there waiting for me. And then when I come back over here to feed the cats, he'd be here waiting for me. He even knows how to sneak into their house. They haven't plugged all the holes thoroughly.
Oh, okay.
So I'd be unlocking the door and Taz would be inside already.
He's smart. He's also the alpha.
Yep.
Shadow was the alpha until a tab came along.
Yep.
Tux thinks he's the alpha.
Well, he may be half the size of the other cats, but he puts them in their place. Brad, they want them to go away.
Well, that's just because he whacks them for no reason. It's like,
no.
He'll just walk up to them and say, bow, 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 bow.
He'll get all kissy face with them, and all of a sudden his paws in their face. It's like, so they're like, forget you, stay away from me.
Well, yeah, and if you're giving one cat more attention than you're giving him, he'll beat the other cat up.
Oh.
But yeah, those are our, well, and Shadow's not really that aggressive. He's just more dominant, but he's not mean about it. He just acts like he's the boss, but he doesn't throw his weight around.
Right.
It's like when Jitters came around, Shadow was the one who addressed him.
Yep. He did.
So, yeah, between Shadow and Tabby, one of those two is the alpha. Or they're both the alphas. Tux is just a bully.
Tux is socially inept.
I'm not sure which one of the females I would say is alpha, but China really has surprised us.
China's a hunter.
Yeah.
She hasn't figured it out yet how to catch a rabbit, but I think by me shooting that one rabbit, she now knows rabbit food.
Yeah, I didn't think she would be as tough as she is, but she is.
Well, she's been catching bigger and bigger rodents, so rabbit's probably the next step up from what she's been catching.
She might be our next hawk hunter.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever see one of those again. That, yeah.
That's very rare.
That was unique.
Yeah. People always tell us we should have got that on video, and we tried.
I did try. That's probably why she stopped doing it in front of me. You're scaring off my hawk. Go away.
Right, we'll have to get better cameras.
She'd go off and hunt before she was catching hawks. She'd go off and hunt, and the other cats would follow her, and they were noisy, and she was quiet. And she'd go for a ways, and if they kept following her, she'd give up and come back. And then she'd go out later. But she ditched the other cats to go out and hunt. Now, I think eventually Stinky Jr.'s father, was able to follow her, and he learned enough that he was able to catch stuff. But for a while, she was bringing back everything, and the other cats were eating from what she brought back.
Right, that's why she had to bring back Big Prey.
Yeah.
Maybe China's thinking the same thing.
Yeah, that gets me. They all bring back their prey, but for the most part, they don't share. This group?
Right.
Silver brought stuff back, and she shared.
Silver was just cool like that. She shared her food with the chickens, even.
Did she?
Well, not the stuff that she caught. But she shared her cat food with
them. Oh, yeah, cat food, yeah. Yeah, I didn't really appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to stop the chickens from eating the cat food.
I think we have enough cats.
I don't know. I think if a chicken hopped up there to eat the cat food, I think most of our cats would run away.
Yeah, maybe. But we do need to get some chickens soon so the cats don't think they're food.
Yeah. Yep.
And they'll keep the ticks down, even if some of them get eaten by wild animals. They'll keep the ticks down.
Yep.
Most of the cats know about chickens and respect them already, so as long as we get them.
Yeah, we need to get them again, so they're still...
Yeah. And we'll have to get more chickens before we get any dogs.
Yep. Well, we do run ball already?
We can do it again.
I don't think we even really talked about him.
Huh?
I don't think we even really talked about him. We talked about his, if we let this go by, it's basically Trump is after WikiLeaks because WikiLeaks turned out some stuff on him.
Wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's going to...
...update for Monday, April 24th. I love WikiLeaks. Candidate Donald Trump said on October 10th on the campaign trail, he praised the organization for reporting on the darker side of the Hillary Clinton campaign. It was information likely leaked by a whistleblower from within the Clinton campaign to WikiLeaks. Back then, he praised WikiLeaks for promoting transparency, but candidate Trump looks less like President Trump every day. The candidate praised whistleblowers and WikiLeaks often on the campaign trail. In fact, candidate Trump loved WikiLeaks so much, he mentioned the organization more than 140 times in the final month of the campaign alone. Now, as president, it seems Trump wants WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange sent to prison. Last week, CNN reported, citing anonymous intelligence community sources, that the Trump administration's Justice Department was seeking the arrest of Assange and had found a way to charge the WikiLeaks founder for publishing classified information without charging other media outlets such as the New York Times and the Washington Post for publishing the same information. It might have been tempting to write off the CNN report as fake news, as is much of their reporting, but for the fact, President Trump said in an interview on Friday that issuing an arrest warrant for Julian Assange would be okay with me. Trump's condemnation of WikiLeaks came just a day after his CIA director, Michael Pompeo, attacked WikiLeaks as a hostile intelligence service. Pompeo accused Assange of being a fraud, a coward hiding behind a screen. Pompeo's word choice was no accident. By accusing WikiLeaks of being a hostile intelligence service rather than a publisher of information on illegal and abusive government practices leaked by whistleblowers, he signaled that the organization has no First Amendment rights. Like many in Washington, he does not understand that the First Amendment is a limitation on government rather than a granting of rights to citizens. Pompeo was declaring war on WikiLeaks. But not that long ago, Pompeo also cited WikiLeaks as an important source of information. In July, he drew attention to the WikiLeaks release of information damaging to the Clinton campaign, writing, "Need proof that the fix was in from President Obama on down?" There is a word for this sudden about-face on WikiLeaks and the transparency it provides us into the operations of the prominent and powerful: hypocrisy. The Trump administration's declaration of war on whistleblowers and WikiLeaks is one of the greatest disappointments in these first 100 days. Donald Trump rode into the White House with promises that he would drain the swamp, meaning that he would overturn the apple carts of Washington's vested interests. By unleashing those same vested interests on those who hold them in check, the whistleblowers and those who publish their revelations, he has turned his back on those who elected him. Julian Assange, along with the whistleblowers who reveal to us the evil that is being done in our name, are heroes. They deserve our respect and admiration, not a prison cell. If we allow this president to declare war on those who tell the truth, we have only ourselves to blame. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, April 24th. I love Wiki.
Cheater!
Yeah! WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Oh, they're talking about me. Throw him in jail. Talk about Clinton. Great!
Yeah.
Hey, what's this strange background music you got going on?
Do what?
What's this strange background music you got going on?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's coming for you.
Do what?
Your mom's watching TV, isn't she?
Nope.
Oh, well, I hear music.
Where?
Coming out of my phone. Okay, it's gone now. He's messing with me.
How about now?
Yes. It's just barely there. Well, they got lots of rain on my side, so it's hard to hear anything.
How about now?
Gone. So what was it?
What was what?
That music you keep playing every once in a while.
What music?
Kind of sounds like piano music when it plays. So we got callers sitting there playing music on us.
What music?
Yeah, it's not there right now.
I I need some crawlers.
Crawlers? What do you need worms for?
What?
What do you need worms for?
They're not worms. On Facebook.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But I think it's
about
the first
time I quit
the
game with that game.
You what?
I think I quit about the time they came up with that game.
Yeah, probably. It wants me to buy hermit crabs right now, but I can't afford them because they cost pearls, and I don't have any pearls. I can buy pearls, but I don't want to buy pearls with fiat money.
Yeah, well, tell them last time you got crabs was from a girl named Pearl.
Yep. Did you know how I fixed that?
Stay away from Pearl.
Raid.
Say what?
I said, you know how I fixed that?
Raid?
Raid.
Oh, my God.
It burned like hell, but it got rid of all the crabs.
Yeah, it might mess up your genetic pool, too.
I don't got to worry about that.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Things you will never do again. What's the dumbest thing you've ever done?
No, I'll do it again.
Okay, once I reach level 30, then I start getting pearls every time I level up.
Woo-hoo!
I'm on level 26. I haven't played this game in forever. I just started playing it again. But my internet is so slow.
I started Facebook because everybody was having Facebook for their resume. And then this guy invited me to play something Mafia.
I know.
Yeah.
Amish Mafia.
No. The name of the game had Mafia in it. And I was hooked. You know, I don't really like that genre.
Right.
So, I played that day and night. It took a couple of months before I ended up making a new profile. And then after a while, I just quit cold turkey on the game. Because it was eating up all the time. I wasn't getting anything done on the farm.
Yeah. I started playing this aquarium game, Happy Aquarium, because my son invited me to play it. And then he never communicated with me on the game whenever I joined.
Right.
Just like he became Facebook friends with me, but he hardly ever talks to me.
Yeah.
He screens all of his tags, and every tag that I can recall tagging him in, he approves of, but he won't talk to me.
Right.
It's weird.
It's insane.
Yeah, whatever. He'll come around, I guess. Maybe I will, one of the two. Maybe he's trying to get me to try to figure him out.
Something like that.
I just added a fish to my fish tank.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
My big ex, she had
what?
This little, I was dating my ex before we got married. She had this little 10-gallon fish tank. And she loved goldfish. So every time we went to the store, she'd go to the pet department, and they'd have all these goldfish. We'd pick out two or three of them, add them to the tank. She must have eventually had about 50 fish in there, this little 10-gallon tank. And they're fine for a little while. Then a couple of them turned belly up. And about a dozen. And almost all of them. And then all of them were dead.
Right.
Well. We're pretty clueless. We didn't know about the 1 gallon per fish rule.
Yeah, I'm allowed to have 80 fish in here. I've got 13 so far.
Wow. How many gallons is that tank?
I don't know. It just says
and
large.
And I assume they're not all goldfish.
Oh, it's 100 gallon.
100 gallons.
No.
Yeah, that 1 gallon per fish thing is for goldfish. Other fish have other requirements.
How can your nursery get dirty when you don't have any fish in it?
Algae?
Yeah, but there's a crawler in it. It's supposed to keep the tank clean.
Well, then the crawler did it.
I'm trying to figure out how to put eggs in the nursery.
Okay, so after I get done planting stuff tomorrow and I got nothing else to do, I should take that bag of bird seed and just kind of spread it all over the place?
Yeah.
Because while it's raining, I doubt if too many birds will be out eating it. There'll be a few, but I'm kind of hoping this heavy rain that's hitting right now is driving my bean seeds into the ground.
Right.
Well, I spread them on tilled soil, so I'm sure there'll be some soil movement, and some of them will be under the silt and less attractive to the birds.
Crawlers don't count as fish.
No, they're snails.
Actually, these are like crawdads.
Really?
Yeah, I wonder if they'll have babies.
They're crayfish.
Yeah. That's interesting. Tank 2 has toys in it. There's nothing else in it but toys.
Okay.
It's a 125-gallon tank. Tank 3 is a 100-gallon tank, and it's just got flying carpet dudes floating around in it. I guess that's where I've been putting all my treasures, because my flying carpet people are floating on all my floating over my treasures.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I got a nursery. Which I didn't know I had until now. But how do you put fish in a nursery?
I don't know. Take a net, scoop them out, put them in the other tank. Get a boy fish and a girl fish and put them together.
I'll have to find my babies. It's pretty hard to find them in this huge tank. Especially with my computer freezing up on me.
It's digital. Use a search engine on it.
Yeah. I got a starfish.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's a male starfish. I need a female starfish. I don't know if I have a female starfish or not. I have a female crawler and a male crawler, but I don't know that they've been having babies or not. I've got a total of 6 crawlers that I can see, because I got a big tank. Oh, yeah, I've named them all. So, yeah, they have not had babies. I guess the crawlers don't have babies, only the fish do. Oh, wait a minute. They can have babies, but you have to tell them to mate. Oh, not the crawlers, only the fish.
Go F yourself.
Oh, I don't have any male clownfish. I gotta go buy a male clownfish.
Yo, you fish, go F yourself.
Now, let's see if it'll mate with the baby. Too young. Jailbait. I got to wait 6 hours before they can mate.
Woohoo! 6 hours of foreplay.
The starfish won't mate either. That's too bad.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to cut them in half.
Ah, crap. This one's mate is too young. Oh, wait, this one might not be. Chance it. Guarantee success. Oh, use a potion. How much does the potion cost? 24 pearls. Forget that. All right, it costs me 217 gold in order to mate these fish. And they may or may not reproduce.
Really?
Congratulations! Oh, okay, going to the nursery. Okay, I put the egg on one of the leaves in the nursery. Interesting. So I got one egg in the nursery. Alright, let's see if I have any other adult fish I can mate. Doesn't look like it.
Trying to make mermaids?
Do what?
Make mer...
Hang on. Do what? Hello?
You're mating with fish. You trying to make mermaids?
Yeah.
You're disgusting.
Thank you. I try to be. I guess I selected... I got a bunch of female clownfish. I just don't have any... I didn't have any male clownfish.
Well, that's it. So your girlfriends are up to the clowns, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that game's over with. So, in conclusion of the DD&D podcast, call us, listen to us Sunday, not Sunday, Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yay!
And you can also find our Demented Dungeons & Dragons Facebook. But, yeah, it may or may not be here come October.
Something like that. Maybe you can dump them on Facebook.
No, not this time. Maybe by then, though.
When I have time.
No, I'm saying if they, I doubt they will allow us to at that time, but if they do, great. You can put videos on there, but you can't put music.
Oh, well, throw up a picture, turn it into a video.
Well, it has to be 25 megabytes or less.
Oh, the video?
Yeah. I could convert them all to video and put them on YouTube for free. We might actually get more publicity that way.
There you go.
We'll call it a vlog instead of, now we'll call it a podcast.
We'll call it a podcast. We'll have to get some artwork done for the D&D Demented Dragon.
D&D Demented Dragons. Okay, well, I guess I'll start creating a D&D YouTube account. Or, I mean, a Demented Dungeons & Dragons YouTube account. Or I could just put them all on my Kano Trump one. Oh, wait. I would have to put them on my...
You're too tired to speak straight.
Yeah, I would have to put them on my Kano Trump YouTube because new YouTubers can't put up as many or as long of videos as older YouTubers. When I first started, I could only put up like 5-minute videos. Now,
all right, so
I can
create, we need to create a D&D YouTube. And then just over time, eventually, we'll be able to move our stuff over to it.
Yeah, that might be a couple years.
That's all right. So we put the short clips of stuff that we find up on it to get it primed, and then refer them. We link to the ones you posted on your Kano Trump.
Right.
Well, it rained heavy all day today, except for about 2 hours before sunset, and now it's raining heavy again. It's raining so heavy that the water is soaking through my fiberglass and dripping on me.
No.
Oh, man. Some of the water in here is because I ran the stove to heat it up because I was all wet. And so it's drying my clothes out. And the gas itself gives off water vapor. So between the two, it put a lot of moisture into the air, and so it condensed inside. So if I don't hurry up and plant your bird seed, it might sprout inside my camper.
Maybe.
All right. Well, good night, all. See
so
you all
long,
next week.
Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I was going to have you remind me to do something tomorrow, but I forgot what it is. So, oh, well.
Hey, remind me to remind you to do what you forgot to remind me to have you do.
We'll do that. Good night.
Okay. Goodbye.